Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Nerdy Guilty Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We hope you're having an amazing start to your week and a finish to your weekend. Shira, how are you?
I'm doing good, but, you know, last night the time sprang forward, and it is really kicking my butt. Like, I feel like it's my bedtime. Already.
Thank you.
It's going to take some getting used to.
Yeah, Shire, it's been one of those weekends that just kind of blew by. And now we're going to be right back. We're right back on the grind, you know, but this is what we do. It's what we do. And But I'm glad I've been able to enjoy some time with you, the kids, and with extended family, you know, this weekend. So. It was good. It was good. It's a productive weekend. You started the taxes. You know, still got a little.
You started the taxes.
Yeah,
I was just the company.
You were, but I'm hopeful for how they're looking and gonna finish those up soon. So there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to talk about today's topic. This is a political year, Shire. Polarizing year on if you're on the right or the left, you know, that's your business, you know what I'm saying? But things that do affect the financial community and the economy at large, we want to definitely tap in on that. So I believe it was Friday, President Biden had his State of the Union address where he addressed Congress. Now this is sidebar, Shy. I was like I never remember seeing former President Trump stand with Congress, you know, like with the people, you got the two people behind him and you're talking to everyone.
The State of the, I'm sure he did it.
I looked it up, Shire. No pictures. I don't think he ever addressed Congress, but I could be wrong. I don't remember him doing it in that setting.
I don't know.
It was bizarre. I was like, wait, he was president for 4 years, but I never remember seeing him there with Pence behind him, similar to how, President Harris was behind the president. I don't know. It's just weird, but that's just a sidebar, a little rant.
I think he did do it, Marcus.
Did he?
Maybe we just weren't.
Maybe we wasn't tapped in. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, however you come out on it, President Biden had his State of the Union, and he teased or talked about a potential first-time home buyer tax credit, Shire. Now this is important for us, Shire. Do you want to tell the people why this is important to us? Then we're going to get into exactly what this tax credit looks like.
Why don't you dive into why it's important to us? Because I think you're trying to throw me the ball.
Yeah,
so I
felt like
dunk
I was,
it, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Shire, this our tax credit in 2009 spawned.
Why did you say our tax credit?
Because we got a first time home buyer tax credit.
Okay, so come on, backstory.
Yeah, our first time
home buyer. And who was in office at that time?
The Honorable President Barack Hussein Obama. That was one of his first things that he did as he got into office. And Shire, that little old tax credit we got, that was special. That really kind of catapulted, helped to, you know, get us where we are today. I like that.
I agree with that statement. Yeah. And I think you were, like, as we were discussing it, talked about how it started off as kind of like money that you would have to pay back, but then it transitioned into like
just a check.
A check.
And that's when we hopped on board.
Absolutely. And so the market was down, and we got our condo for around $86,000. I might be rounding up, but and then that very next year, guess what? We got that tax credit, which was $8,000.
Yeah. Kind of helped us furnish the house, you know.
It helped us furnish the house.
Pay off some debt.
we paid off a credit card, a $3,000 credit card, and it pretty much reimbursed us for the money that we spent to get the condo in the first place. So it really felt like we got a house for free.
Yeah.
Now, a lot has changed. There aren't houses, at least in this area, for $80,000, $90,000, you know, $1,000. So it is a different time. And I am curious to learn more about this proposal. Marcus, I don't even think I have up the same article as you.
Okay, yeah, we've been looking at a couple different articles this whole time. Which one are you looking at? mine is an article from Yahoo Finance. It says, Biden proposes tax credit for first-time home buyers. Here's how it works.
Yeah, there's a lot of different articles. Mine is a little bit different, but it's also from Yahoo Finance. But it's, you know, that home buyer tax credit. And there's also a piece about construction for more homes.
Okay, well, let's break it down. You want to start with yours or you want me to start with mine?
And then we sure. So it says the White House announced that President Joe Biden will call on lawmakers in the House of Representatives and the Senate to address a series of housing issues in his State of the Union address, which will be delivered in a joint session of Congress and televised nationally on Thursday night. So that has passed. My article is from March 7th.
Okay. Mine's from the 9th.
Okay. But I think we're still on the same wavelength.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it says the mortgage relief credit would provide middle-class first-time homebuyers with an annual tax credit of $5,000 a year for 2 years, according to the announcement.
Okay.
This would act as an equivalent to reducing the mortgage rate by more than 1.5% on a median-priced home for 2 years.
Okay.
And it is estimated to help more than 3.5 million middle-class families purchase their first home over the next 2 years, the White House said. The president will also call for a new credit to unlock inventory of affordable starter homes while helping middle-class families move up the housing ladder and empty nesters right size, the White House said. I'll go ahead and pause there, and maybe we'll transition to your article because it is newer.
Yeah, I got a couple couple new additions.
But what are your initial thoughts on this? Because this is different than the tax credit that we received back in the day from Obama when we got that lump sum.
Yes.
You know, this credit is proposing $5,000 a year for 2 years, so it's kind of breaking it up.
Right.
And it is, you know, essentially helping the home purchaser or home buyer feel like their mortgage rate is reduced.
Yeah,
but that's only for 2 years.
Right, right. And that's a great point, that after the 2 years, it no longer feels like the percentage drop in the interest rate. But I think it's cool. I think they're trying to stretch it out because, you know, to soften the blow on the government that's going to be actually giving out this credit. As opposed to when we did ours, they just dropped us that following tax season. They just dropped it all to us in our tax return. So that's interesting, Shire. I think it could be positive. But if you think about it, Shire, let's just think about it, right? $9,000 for us in 2009.
You said $9,000?
That's what we got in 2009.
We got $8,000.
Was it $8,000? I'm sorry. $8,000 in 2009. And you saw where the market was then. For it to get two disbursements of $5,000, where the market is now, it's a nice gesture, but
it doesn't feel like it's enough. Yeah. My, you know, and clearly I'm reading this article for the first time with you. I feel like it's not enough. It's not enough. It's enough to say that I'm doing something, but it doesn't really solve the problem. What is happening is really an unaffordability issue.
Yeah.
So even if you give me $5,000, $10,000 down the line, it's really not helping me. I need the help up front. You know, it's a tax credit, right?
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if there are other things that Biden is looking at.
Yes.
And the same token, it's just like, is this really helping families.
Yeah, I think, and we're going to get into some other things that Biden teased that are associated with home buying and things like that. But Shire, it's interesting because you're dealing with three different entities, okay? You're dealing with the business structure or the housing market, right, where builders are pricing their homes at X, right? So you have that component.
Right.
Then you have the Federal Reserve, which is a separate entity that really wants their only way of addressing
inflation
and the homes of prices is to raise interest, and they operate. No one could, you know, tell them what to do there. So you got two separate entities: the entity that prices the homes,
right?
The entity that affects
makes the
interest,
loans.
Yep,
yeah,
and the government, which is set apart from the Federal Reserve. You got the Federal Reserve, you got the United States government, two different entities, is Biden. So he's thinking like, man, what can I do? And really all he could do, Shire, he can't tell them, drop the prices. He can't tell them, make the interest easier. All he could do is just like, I could give y'all a tax credit. Like, you know, it's like he's doing I want to say he's doing the best he can. Can he give more? Would that be the solution?
When you say can he give, it's not a gift that
y'all
he's providing to Americans.
Y'all from know
his
good and well where this
pocket.
Money's coming from.
So, I mean, I think.
Do we want that? Do we want more tax dollars going to fund this? I got my house. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping y'all get y'all's first one too. You know, that's what we hear. You know, we praying
well,
with y'all, but
wow.
I don't want to get no money towards it.
I mean, I think that what we should ask is, you know, what's the average cost of a house in the U.S.? And so, I hope, yeah, well, this is coming from an article from February 2024. Average home price in the United States is $417. And so, I need my little calculator because I'm thinking, like, if it's, you know, $417,000. What is the down payment on that? And then,
yeah, get that number.
And then, like, is this tax credit moving the needle for me?
Yeah. Well, while you get that, I can go ahead and talk about some other initiatives the president is looking to include. Maybe that's the something extra we're looking for from him, but I'm interested to get that number, Shire. What's the average down payment?
I mean, if I'm looking at like putting down 3.5%, mm-hmm. it's around, you're going to need like $14,000.
That's a nice little piece
$595, but that's not even including closing costs
yeah.
or anything like that.
Yeah, so it's going to be a nice big chunk of change.
Okay, so what else is he proposing?
Well, this is what else he's proposing, Shire. $25,000 in down payment assistance to first generation homebuyers whose families haven't benefited from the generational wealth building associated with home ownership.
So
now that's broad. I mean,
okay.
I want to say it's not broad, but who's going to determine that you qualify for that, right?
So
let's read it again. $25,000
yeah.
in down payment assistance to first-generation homebuyers whom families haven't benefited from the generational wealth building associated with home ownership.
Okay. Which is estimated to assist 400,000 families, according to the White House.
It sounds good. But
I mean,
don't know.
Just make it plain.
Yeah, that's a lot of words. That's a run-on sentence, ain't it?
Yeah, well, there's a quote. The quote is, whose families haven't benefited from the generational wealth building associated with home ownership? I'm thinking...
He might have just said that in his speech, and they extracted it to make it like it's a bill. He may have just said that speaking.
I think this whole thing is an idea he's going to take, you know, or he wants to put forth. But he, you know, obviously, you could have done this before, but
yeah, I ain't holding my breath.
Just make it plain. Who are you talking to? You know, make it plain. But anywho, that sounds. But it's coming from the federal government. Okay.
Yeah.
What else do you got?
He's looking to eliminate title insurance on federally backed mortgages. Now
what does that mean?
title insurance. I think it's probably a line on our HUD statement that we're paying that we don't necessarily realize we're paying for.
Okay.
But it says the White House says it may save homeowners an average of $750 on the mortgage refinance.
On a mortgage
refinance. So I think it's a one-time thing.
Okay, $750. Okay.
That's good.
All right.
And then lastly, legislation. He wants to implement legislation to encourage the building and renovation of more than 2 million homes to close the housing supply gap.
Well, there's an affordability issue.
And because there's a supply issue, right?
Well, I guess they all go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Marcus. You know, this, I'm curious, obviously, to learn to see how it goes. I think that there is, you know, a housing crisis.
Yeah.
But what needs to happen to address that crisis, I don't know that this is going to... Mm-hmm. Gonna solve everything. There are some comments on the article. I see some comments on mine. Do you see any on your end? And we could probably take a look at some of those comments, but yeah, it looks like you got something else.
Yeah, I want to take a look at the comments for sure, Shar. But before we do that, how likely is it that this something like this will even pass? Democrats don't have enough votes to pass a bill through both the House and Senate without a measure of bipartisan support. And Republicans have had difficulty reaching a consensus on several issues. That makes it a stiff challenge, you know, in advancing affordable housing initiatives in the months remaining. I don't know. And then it's an election year, Shire. Nobody's going to be trying to give the other anything. So essentially, we're beefing right now. So anything you propose, I can't really rock with it right now. I can't have a show of bipartisan support because it's you versus me, at least until November. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you have to, for me, I would like to see what they believe will, you know, how this will really support families long term, right?
Yeah.
If you give them $5,000 for 2 years, and so that'll help them to get in the house, but what's going to help them keep the house once they're no longer getting that tax credit?
Right.
You know, so I think that there is more to be desired. And then because it's election year, you know, you have the student loan debt forgiveness. Now you're basically paying off student loans and giving out down payments for houses. And it's I want all of that. But can we afford it as a nation? And will these benefits go to the people who are most deserving and the audience, you know, the individuals that it should go?
It's time for some real talk real quick, Shire. Why are you getting those? I don't have any comments, so we're going to go off yours.
Oh, okay.
But it's time for some real talk real quick. You said it. These things, these programs, these credits, these breaks, whatever you want to call them, are not free. And it's almost like we're chasing good, we're throwing good money after bad because you're having to do these things because it's the cost of living is becoming unaffordable. So now you have to help people and give them this break and give them this and give them that, right? But the breaks you're giving them are going to cost us later. So it's like you're going to still have to then 10 years from now, you're going to have to be giving us a different type of tax break, a different type of credit because people can't afford to live then. It's just like, how could we fix this system? It's almost like the system's broken and we just in this vicious cycle of it's unaffordability. And now I got to give the citizens breaks just so they can keep their head above water. And now the breaks cause more unaffordability and inflation. And it's just like, man, I don't know what the answer is, but it just seems like this is a Band-Aid. It seems like I'm bleeding. I broke my leg and you handed me a Band-Aid instead of, you know, taking me to the doctor and getting me surgery.
Right. And I'm kind of wondering why it was proposed over two payments, because when Obama was in office and we got that $8,000 check. Yes. I mean, that was a windfall of money. I don't think I had ever seen a check that big. Yeah. But we were able to pay off our credit card debt, the credit card that we had at the time. I mean, we did so much positive with those dollars,
right?
And it's just, it's like, are you breaking it up because you really can't afford to really do this?
It's like, I could put a piece on it. I could give you a little something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, but it's just like, you know, I don't know. You try to plug one hole and then another one shows up, you know.
I like that now.
There's some really good comments here. Someone shared, Biden unveiled a barrage of plans for the country a mere 8 months before the election. And a substantial portion of them raises skepticism for their authenticity. What exactly has he been doing over the past 3 years?
Yeah, that's a healthy question. I can't lie.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that one. I don't follow politics as close as I should, but I will say that both sides of recent have admitted that the economy as a whole is doing a lot better. There's a jobs increase. I think when the report came out in January, I think it was. And then, you know, the market is very healthy now. So people are like optimistic, like, well, at least Joe, you know, he got the economy kind of back a little in a better situation. But aside from that, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. So someone else says, sounds like the student loan forgiveness. Try to do something he can't do on his own without approval. Just trying to get votes. Another person says, great idea, Joe. What are you willing to cut from the budget to do this? I'll wait.
Man, I mean, I don't really want to get into this, but he did propose more spending, foreign spending as well. So it's like, I kind of resonate with that last question. It's like, well, we got to cut something. It's like a household budget. I want to start getting this, and my money is what it is. Something got to go. So it's just like, man, it's just not looking too good. The one before that, Shire.
Mm-hmm.
What was that question? What was that question again? It said,
this one sounds like student loan forgiveness.
Yeah, it does sound like student loan forgiveness, Shire, because
you still, yeah.
He wasn't able to make that happen, but he proposed it on the campaign run of 2020 and had us all like, yeah, let's get him. Hey, let's wait and see. Maybe he might be able to do it. And then he couldn't. Like, I don't know if he could make these big sweeping declarations. I don't think we as individuals really understand how little power the president really has to just do whatever he wants to do. He has to get okay from people to do this stuff. He could do executive orders, but those don't carry the weight of like getting the okay from Congress and the Senate and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of these comments are not from folks who are hopeful that he would be able to implement this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think, hey, I'll say this for the people that will be receiving it. I'm sure it will do them well.
It'll be helpful, but it's not a long term solution.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, baby. I don't know.
Is it, you know, well. The last thing I want is for folks to be incentivized to get into a place where they can't afford.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Jumping out the window.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay, we're going to have this tax credit. But I think down payment assistance is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a huge barrier to home ownership.
Yeah.
And we just did some math, and $25,000 might not be 20%, but it is enough to get you in the door to, you know, a lot of different homes,
right.
at least the average home.
Right.
So that would be great to see, but making sure that those dollars go to folks who are deserving of it, those who are coming from historically disadvantaged communities. You know, that's kind of what they were hinting to in the language that was presented.
Right. That's definitely what they were doing.
I mean, there's definitely some skepticism here, but it will be interesting to see how it all pans out. And then also what this year is going to look like, you know, over the next few months, what's gonna be going down.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna have to keep an eye on it, Shire. It's gonna be an interesting next few months, like you said. Shire, before we get out of here, I wanna just get your thoughts on this and just whatever your thoughts are, as few as they may be or as much as they may be. Bitcoin is lit.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, Shire. So I did this, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I did a quick cast a few months back, might even be a year back, when Bitcoin was dropping. And it was in the teens. It was dropping. You know, the shares were in the teens. Mm-hmm. Teen thousands. So 19, I think it was around anywhere from 19 to 18,000. Something like that. And I just pretty much saying, y'all were just buying up this stuff. Y'all don't know what the utility of Bitcoin is, how it's going to be used. Y'all just buying this because the prices was going up, and now the prices are going down like many people thought they would. Well, that was a while ago, Shire. Right now, Bitcoin is at $68,000. So up from $19,000 to $68,000 a share.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thoughts on Bitcoin and the overall hot wave of crypto? Do you think it's just a phase? Do you think this could last? What's your thoughts on crypto in general? I don't think I've ever said the word crypto to you. That's how little
Marcus,
we talk about it.
I mean, I think you definitely have.
What's your take on it, Shire?
I honestly don't have a take. If you're a person and you're into this crypto thing and you understand it and this is what you want to do, go on and do it. I invest in what I understand. And I don't
yes,
know
I like that, Shire.
But, you know, hey, I
guess yeah. There's two worlds, Shire. There's the people that look at crypto as for its utility. Like, mm-hmm. how would I be able to use it in the real world? And then there's people that look at it as just another ticker symbol on the stock market, just another business on the stock market that I could put money in, and my real money grows as a result of the shares of that thing growing. And so, but like you said, I only invest in what I understand, and I don't understand Bitcoin at all.
Yeah, you know, but as you were talking, I did just do a little Google search, mm-hmm. and I think that there is a really interesting article on Forbes.
Okay.
It's titled, "Just the Beginning, Bitcoin Suddenly Hits 70,000 Price." And so I think that that there is much to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at the beginning of the article, it talks about how it has skyrocketed, kind of, you know, as you were just mentioning,
mm-hmm.
and that it has gone up 350% since crashing,
yeah,
to recent lows of 15,000, and so it's way up there,
it's way
now.
Up, think about if you bought it at 15, where what your money's doing right now.
Well. It's
see, that's the
well.
Problem. It's always, what if you did? What if? What if?
Yeah. But it's something that I have not had my finger on this pulse, mm-hmm. but the article goes on to talk about how China and Russia revealed that they're abandoning the U.S. dollar for a Bitcoin-inspired alternative. And it's a Silicon Valley venture capital investor has declared Bitcoin is at its tipping point. And could be about to open the Ethereum.
Ooh. Definitely something to look at. It's kind of like the AI thing.
Yeah. I definitely invest in what I understand, but at the same time, I'm just like, I don't want to be left behind,
yes.
right? Like, you make so much progress at the beginning of your journey, mm-hmm. you're studying, you're reading up, and then all of a sudden you're just like, I got this, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you feel, but then you don't want to miss
an
opportunity.
Right.
You don't want to know what's going on globally.
Yes.
You don't want to miss certain things. So
yeah.
that's where I need to level up, right?
Well, I like that. I think there's that honesty is really good. And I agree too. It's just like, you want to at least know what's going on. It's like knowing what's going on in pop culture, right? You don't necessarily want to be doing all the Gen Z stuff, but it's nice to know what they out here doing, right? To just know what's going on next door. So yeah, this is interesting. Something definitely going to look at. A lot of people projecting it could get to 100,000, Shire. Now that would be lit. If it gets to 100,
is it worth that though?
That's the thing. How do we know? It's just worth what people feel it's worth. I don't know why people just said, let's start buying it again, y'all.
I guess.
Not like it's a money-making business that you can say business is booming and that's why people are flocking to it, right? With Nike. If the Nike prices were to rise tomorrow, it would be because the CEO made a big announcement. They're dropping a new product, or it would be a reason for it. But with Bitcoin, it's just like, hey, y'all, let's just start buying Bitcoin again. Okay. And everybody just start doing it, and then it just goes crazy.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing, man. It's just like, so. But it's something that's interesting. It's something I just wanted to bring up. Well, Shara, that's all I got for today. You got anything you want to share? Anything you want to, on your heart, you like to tell the people?
Yeah, we'll have to talk about this in our next podcast, but is there a, a trend or a TikTok war between millennials and Gen X around aging?
Ooh, I don't know. I haven't heard about that.
Who's aging worse?
I think I've seen something about that.
Uh-huh.
We probably do got to talk about that or do some research on that. But I have seen something kind of trending about that. I'm not too familiar with it. But I know We Done With the 90s is trending currently on TikTok and Twitter, mostly around sports. But yeah, man, this is a war. It's a battle of the ages right now, Shy.
Yeah.
Everybody want to be young. Everybody feel like this is my time. And every generation is like, I'm him, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my goodness.
So I'm not surprised by that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this New York Times article. It says, hark, the millennial death well. I don't know why it's called that, but man. It says millennials have grown up. We've hit middle age.
Yeah.
Started to show signs of aging.
Yeah.
Even great. Of aging out of the internet and into something called millennial pause. I have not heard that.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have to touch on that next. Yes. That's going to be next week's one for sure.
Yeah, so. Sure.
All right, well, that sounds interesting. Well, that's all we got for today. So if you enjoyed this episode, do us a huge favor. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. And we greatly appreciate it. Until next time, we out. Peace.
Bye.